Friday. By the way, I heard from the guy that, if you weren't listening earlier, the guy who said his 38-year-old girlfriend, Tiffany, came in and stole everything he had. He wouldn't let me know that the fourth thing stolen was not strawberries, Sherry.
Oh, okay. What was it?
It was a rake. He had a rake in the garage.
Was strawberries on the
All
list,
right.
just lower down? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little further down, right after rake.
She is a good woman. Shop back and a rake.
Wiped him out.
Hard
worker.
Wiped him out.
Shame. By the way, you missed it. If you missed it, you can't. Folks, this show is like Mission Impossible, that old show in the 70s. If you came in 5 minutes after that thing, after the tape caught on fire, you had no idea what was happening. I always walk in, I say to my dad, why is that guy, running? Never mind. Diving in the news! All right, this is something we've been doing. Kind of works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. I get a chance to debate a listener. And Sherry, they said, do you know anything about Elliot? Has Jacob sent this to you or just to me?
No, I know a little bit about Elliot. You want to hear about him?
Yeah, let's hear about Elliot.
All right. Well, he's a Mariner, but not the baseball kind. He's Canadian-American, and he once offered to let you broadcast the show from his house. But his husband said no, so that didn't happen.
That's right. That's right, because Elliot's husband doesn't like me.
Oh.
Welcome to the show, Elliot, whose husband doesn't like me. Hello,
oh,
Elliot.
Dear.
Hello, John. Hello, Sherry. How are you guys?
Hi, Elliot.
Elliot, the topic that you have chosen you wish to debate with me is the fact that the Pride Parade has banned the police from marching in the parade. I assume in previous years, Seattle Police Department did march in the parade, but this year they've decided they will follow suit with, I think, Chicago, New York, and other major cities that have disinvited police from marching in the parade. And I'm going to assume, as a Canadian-American, you're all in favor of that.
So I should clear the record. I'm actually just a U.S. citizen, but I've been educated and worked in Canada, and it's a very lovely place with very lovely people. But I'm American. But yes,
you're American.
I agree. Police in uniform should not march in the Pride Parade.
Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. It's because Pride commemorates the Stonewall Riots in 1969. In New York City, it was not legal for men to hold hands, to go on a date together, to be together. Mm-hmm. And so the only place that gay men could congregate and meet somebody was a place called the Stonewall Inn. And the police kept raiding the place. Finally, in 1969, the patrons decided they'd had enough. Led by a beautiful woman named Marsha P. Johnson, they started a riot and protested against the police and said, we've had enough. And that was the Stonewall Riot, which marked the beginning of the modern gay rights movement. And it was an anti-police riot. So my essential point is that police are not welcome at an event that commemorates an anti-police protest.
That makes perfect sense. If one were to think that the Gay Pride Parade, it has sort of moved away from its original origin, celebrating the fact of the riots that had happened at Stonewall. It has now included and has grown. So I would say that a couple of years ago, what had happened was that the gay police officers that fought hard to be out and to serve as a gay man or a gay woman and also be a police officer. They started groups and they had organizations and they were welcomed. And when it came to the cities, all over big cities, they recruited and tried to get. We want as most diverse a group of people we can possibly have representing the community, protecting and serving. So they opened their arms and they said, listen, we don't care. You're gay or straight. If you can do the job, come along. Charlie Cochran Jr. He was the first gay man ever hired to be a police officer. And it really was a celebration of when they marched just last year and the year before and the other years. It was like, look, I'm gay. I'm a cop. I'm in the parade. And I'm not afraid to dance to I Will Survive. the gay anthem. So, right, exactly. So, you know, the only thing is the cops, like, just put some distance between us and the guys with the gigantic red leather phalluses. So the this year you can't have them because here's my point, Elliot. The gay community and gay activists have won. Congratulations. You have very little that you're fighting for. A few things on the fringes, but all in all, look at the amount of progress you have made. So now we have to continue to fight for something. So they look around and they say, let's do this. Let's be against the police. Let's say that police brutalize, police kill. So let's do this. Let's get involved with that side of it because that seems to get a lot of mojo. So therefore, we can't have the police marching along beside us. It is actually a sign of the fact that as a group of people that were once murdered because of who they loved have made incredible advances.
I think you do. You're right that being anti-cop is sort of the activist flavor of the day, and there's certainly some people that are caught up in that, and I don't disagree with you there, John, but I would disagree with the idea that we, the gay community, have won. It's not over. I'm temporarily working down here in Texas, and I could be fired for being gay. There's no law in Texas that prevents that. Fortunately, in Washington State, we do have such a law, but there's many states that don't. Also, there's huge struggles right now for transgender kids. And there's state after state passing laws that are restricting transgender kids from getting health care. So I would disagree with you respectfully on the idea that the gay community has sort of won. We have marriage. That's good. I'm happily married. 8 years, you know, but it's not over. The other side of that coin is, did you ever see the movie Hellboy?
Yes, actually on a plane, because Tom told me to watch it, and again, another one of Tom's suggestions, but I was stuck on a plane, but go ahead.
Okay, so it's the Hellboy principle, that the gay community will always operate on the Hellboy principle, that if there's trouble, all us freaks have is each other, and we have to band together, and we have to protect our most vulnerable, and if people in our community are saying, I feel threatened by police, I feel unsafe in the presence of police, that we're going to defer to those people in our LGBT community to feel most threatened. Now, do I, as a 250-pound white dude, feel threatened in the presence of police? No. Last time I got pulled over, I got out of the ticket. You know, like, okay, I'm white, I have that privilege. But am I going to defer to people within the community who say, I don't feel safe around the cops, I don't want them at the parade, I absolutely am.
Okay, what if somebody, let's say 1977, survey taken of Americans, 78% of Americans said that they are uncomfortable with gay men around children. So they were uncomfortable with gay men around children. Okay, so that is somebody that is obviously has a limited point of view or experience, and they're just going to sort of be based upon their own neurosis. I would say that the people that, and this is going to seem harsh, but who cares? The people that say that they don't feel safe around police, you know what they need? A kick in the ass, because they're just saying that because what they want is attention. So what you do is when you begin to set the sort of parameters, or you begin to sort of create a benchmark for the behavior that we will consider to be what we'll cater to, well, then you're always catering to the most sensitive. Well, I don't feel sensitive, or I don't feel safe around police, or I don't feel safe around this. So everyone can run to them and go, oh, really? What's wrong with you? And they love all the attention. And then you're going to get somebody, well, I don't feel safe around whatever else they want to come up with that they don't feel safe around, so that they can give even more attention. Let's face it, a couple of years ago, the police marched in the parade and they were proud of it and the community cheered for them. And what it does is, if you're a gay guy and you're 16 years old and you're standing on the side and you're watching the parade go by the way, let's both agree on this, Elliot, we don't have to debate this, that the parade is lowest form of entertainment in the world next to a circus. So the parade goes by, and if you're 16 years old and you go, hey, I guess I could be a cop, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I guess I could be a cop. And then, you know what? Because then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I'm 16 and I'm gay. And you know what? I don't have to do musical theater. Maybe I'll do that on the side. But I'm going to become a police officer. That's what it does. That's why the guys marched in the parade, because the community celebrates it. But the cowards that want to not have the police in here because it's the new thing for the fact that the police are brutalizing. And I would say, the same people that in 1977 that thought that gay men were out molesting children did not have the statistics to back that up. And I would challenge any one of those people that don't want police marching to show me the statistics that show me that the police are out there brutalizing gay men, trans whatever, or people. The number of police and the number of calls that police go on and the way that they are accountable to all sorts of new rules and regulations, thank goodness, you're not getting the brutalization that you thought you had. So the same ignorant people in 77 that thought that gay men were abusing and molesting kids is the same moronic belief, the believing the hype and the myth and the lies and the propaganda that's on the left.
Yeah, and I think you do make a good point about for that 16-year-old kid to realize, hey, I could be a cop, because when I was that age, I thought that your choices as a gay man were, you know, flight attendant, teacher, or musical theater. And so, you know,
or florist. Or florist. Let's not hate florist, Elliot.
Sure.
Or florist, thank you.
Or florist. But, you know, I'll tell you, though, John, as far as giving somebody a kick in the butt and saying get over that, I can't say that to somebody who's just watched the video of George Floyd being killed and seeing that guy looks like me and he's being murdered on camera. I can't kick that person in the butt and say, get over that. That's a real fear.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether
but Elliot,
the statistics.
Yeah. No, what statistics?
No, that's what I'm saying. Is you can make that argument about the statistics, but if we're talking about in a community event, and somebody who's just seen that and is terrified of that, and they're saying, I don't want this group here, then we're going to defer to that. And I would also just go back to the history of it, that is Greenpeace obligated to let Texaco march in their parade? I would say no. There's a historical reason and there's a present reason. And we can disagree on whether those reasons are valid. But ultimately, I'm going to defer to the people within the gay community who don't feel safe around police. And I'm going to defer to the origins of the event that was an anti-police riot. And I'm going to say to Seattle cops, go march in that parade. March with your rugby club. March with your church. March with your tennis team.
Yeah.
We just don't want you in your uniform. It's not the venue.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the actions of Daryl Chauvin. We're going to take that police officer. And we're now going to assume that all behavior and all police are responsible, like the one caught on tape. So we're going to take the actions of one gay man, and then we're going to say all gay men are like that. And this is the problem that anyone that is in a minority that's oppressed and truly crapped on by society. The society that has prejudice against somebody takes one individual, and then what you do is you multiply that one individual and you have them represent everyone that looks that way, talks that way, acts that way. So then therefore, we don't have to just worry about hating one person. We can hate all of them. So you could find an example along the way somewhere in society where someone that was gay did something. And then everybody that hated gay people would see that? That's what those gays do. That's those gays, or that's those blacks, or that's those whites. You got the one guy on the neck of George Floyd, right? The other guys are standing around. Got it. Now, all of a sudden, which, by the way, was not race-based, it was a police officer showing a lack of concern for a human being dying underneath his knee. But it wasn't race-based. But the big point is this. That is the actions of one. You cannot judge the actions of one and then multiply it out unless you want to live a really, really sad life where you're closing yourself off from the beauty of every single individual. By them doing this in the city of Seattle, by not letting these police, by saying all police are bad, you're doing the exact same thing that has been done to gay people, to black people, to white people, to Jews, to any sort of minority. You're doing it, not you, Elliot, because you're a big fan of the show, and I love you. I don't care much for your husband very much, though. I say this. anybody that stops this sort of thing, you are as bad as the people that have been crapping on you for years.
Well, John, the key difference in what you just mentioned there is that you can't stop being Jewish. I mean, I guess you could convert, but you can't stop being gay. You can't stop being black. You can take off the uniform. The Blue Lives Matter thing is just wildly inappropriate, in my opinion, because it's talking about a career. It's talking about a job. And that's something that you can change. And so to lump that in on the same level as the oppression of Jewish people, the oppression of African-American people, I just think is disingenuous and is apples to oranges. And furthermore, we're not talking about taking their pension away. We're not talking about, you know, making police officers use a separate drinking fountain. We're just saying, you know, we don't want you to wear that in this event. It's not the same level. You make a solid point about judging the person and not the group. But I think you're stretching a little bit and comparing it to the serious oppression of all these other people. At the end of the day, it's just saying, hey, man, this is a party that you're not invited to.
Right, because we don't like you.
We don't like what you represent. We don't like what your uniform represents.
Okay, well, I'll say this, Elliot. Not you particularly, but the people that made this decision.
Sure.
I don't know who it is, but let's say that they come home from a fabulous dinner party. The door of their house is open, and they can tell someone is in their home. And they can hear someone inside the home screaming, and it's their partner. And there is someone in there that's beating them. That person, the first number they will call is 911. Those cops will come to that house within hopefully less than 7 minutes. The person inside that house, in the hypothetical situation I'm drawing right now, the person inside that house could have a gun. And that cop is now going to walk in there. They don't know this guy. They don't know the guy that called. But they're going to walk into that house, risk their life to save an individual who they do not know. And by the way, they're going to be wearing a uniform. And we don't want those people. We don't want those people in our parade because we don't like what they represent.
In this context, But also, they do a dangerous job and they're well paid for it. We can respect their work. We can appreciate the work that they do, while at the same time saying there's a time and a place for everything, and this is not a time and a place for that uniform. So come march in a pride parade if you're a cop. Just march with your weightlifting group. March with your church. March with your tennis crew. Just don't march.
Hey, with the uniform, you know, with the cliches. With the cliches, Elliot, with the weightlifting, okay? Tracy Taylor's going to look at traffic for us. What for? There we go. Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. Best in the business. Refinancing that house, reverse mortgage, or anything you need. Pre-approval letter, Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. There's Sherry sitting right over there. She's filling in for Tom on a Friday, a reoccurrence that Tom is out like Johnny Carson used to be out on Fridays. By the way, it's so weird nowadays. You mentioned Johnny Carson, and you get about 60% of the people go, huh? It's just so weird. I met a guy in a bar the other day. He told me that he had a 38-year-old girlfriend. She'd never heard of Clint Eastwood. I said, how'd that
come
work out?
On.
Not well.
Clint Eastwood?
Oh, come on, what? I was more shocked that he had a 38-year-old girlfriend. You should have seen this guy's teeth.
Everybody's heard of Clint Eastwood. I mean, not too bright. I'm sorry.
Her name was Tiffany, and she was a bartender. And then he told me that after 2 years, then he said, after 2 years, I came home and she'd stolen everything I had. And
no.
I was like, wow. That's what I said. Like, what? He goes, she took my shop vac. Now, if took my shop vac was the first thing you mentioned, that she took everything I had, then you know the list is going to get really small really fast. Fourth thing on the list, she stole everything I had. You ready? Took the strawberries out of my refrigerator.
Mm.
Fourth thing mentioned after shop vac. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
A man of few possessions.
I've been a vast
bad taste in women.
and Clint Eastwood movies. Okay, Amazon has made the announcement. I looked. It seems like everybody's following suit. Salesforce, Spotify, they're all basically saying, come on in. You can work 2 days in the office. The other 3 days, you get to go to Costco and the park. And work from home.
Yes. Amazon says you can work from home for 2 days, but you got to come in the rest of the week. But this is a switch, John, earlier, back in March, they said they envisioned an office-centric culture. And a lot of people got very upset about this because they said, wait a minute, we've been working from home, we've been productive. And at one point, other companies were saying, hey, if Amazon is going to make you go back to work in the office, come and work for us. We're hiring. So,
yes.
Most of the 60,000 Seattle area employees are also allowed to work from home, a domestic location, 4 weeks out of the year. So they're relaxing this whole office-centric thing that they started a couple of months ago.
In the highly competitive world of trying to get these tech kids to work for you, it used to be a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, they would say, oh, we've got an air hockey table, we've got a pool table, we have like a nap room, we've got an espresso machine. Come on in, you can enjoy all these amenities and walk around without any shoes on and bring your dog in, all this other stuff. Now, in order to compete, now it's stay home.
Right.
Stay home where you don't have an air hockey table. You know, stay home where you can walk around barefoot. Now, if you stay home, you can work for us. Because I guess at their point, they're so coveted with this knowledge that they have that they're like, well, the other company says I don't have to come into work.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay home. Yeah.
And the precedent has been set. I mean, because of the pandemic and because everybody worked from home and nothing fell apart. Amazon certainly didn't go out of business. They thrived during the pandemic. So it's really a tough argument to make and say, hey, everybody come back into the office because we don't think you did a good job working from home. So you're right. I mean, long gone are those days when they could attract you by saying, you know, oh, you can have stuffed animals and have a little play area, or we can have nap time, or some of the other little gimmicks that they used to say.
I sense some bitterness coming from you, Sherry. Yeah. Jacob, with me? Stuffed animals and nap time.
Right.
And nap time. Are we talking about Amazon or
my house?
Bright Days Kindergarten.
Yeah, Sherry's just really nostalgic for preschool, I think.
I think I am. I think you caught me.
So.
I am transparent.
Well, I am amazed. But listen, most of the people, it's not like they were, you know, I don't know, not only working in a steel factory where they need the guy to, you know, okay, when the piping hot rivet comes out of the thing, make sure you grab it. I mean, no one's working as a team. Most people that were in most of these fields anyway, were sort of just all hunched over their computer, you know, clogging up their arteries with food and grabbing onto their stuffed animals and waiting for nap time. They weren't, you know, were they really interacting all that much? They don't seem to be very interactive people to me. So maybe it's best they stay at home and maybe it works out for all of them.
Right. They're not working in an Amazon warehouse is what you mean. So that
yes.
where they actually are working, this is much more of a you know, a little bit of a different environment. I mean, they talk about that, too, that, you know, that it's a luxurious kind of problem to have, you know, that you've got to decide whether you can, you know, can you go into work a couple of days a week or can you stay home? I mean, not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the kind of skills that allows them to do something remotely. And these people are lucky enough to do that.
By the way, Jacob, my friend Don Skillman just wrote me, look, check out Microsoft Pillow Room. And see if that is an actual thing. I'll say there's another article in the BBC had a piece on presentationism, which is people that are present but not necessarily productive, but you just assume because you see them a lot, you assume that they are productive because you're seeing them. They're coming to you, bringing you coffee, or coming by and asking you how your weekend was, and they remember who your birthday, they remember all your kids' names, and you see him moving around quickly. Around the office, like, that guy must get a lot done because he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. And this kind of goes to your point all along, John, which is that the people that decide not to go back to work are probably going to suffer because of it. And this presenteeism, what they're calling it, is saying that that's exactly what's going to happen. but they think it's a really bad thing. They think that it's, the objective here is to be productive, not just present. So there's a couple of phenomenons going on. One is called the mere exposure effect. And that's the more exposed a person is to something or someone, the more you like them. So you come into the office every day, you see somebody sitting over there, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And, you just kind of feel familiar. The other one is the halo effect, which is you have somebody that's nice to you. How was your weekend? What's going on with your kids? That type of person, you naturally assume they're also really good at their job, when in fact they may be horrible. They may be a horrible person. They're just phony and whatever. But they're saying that they should really combat this presenteeism, that it's destructive and toxic to other workers.
There was a guy that worked at King 5, and myself and Jim Dever had a running joke that we had no idea what he did. But you just see him always all around the building, but we never knew like what division, what department he was in. And every time we would have one of these, like, every 3 months, we would have like a big get together. And I'd say, hey, are they going to have the, what does Bobby do for a living award, and where we all sit around trying to guess? Because everybody would see him, but no one actually knew what he did. And I said to Jim one day, I'm going to follow him. Jim goes, what? I said, yeah, I am going to follow him around the building and just see where he goes. Like, I'll be back in the corner. I won't be obvious. But he stops off at the cafeteria, gets a cup of coffee, and then he just walks around and he leans in. What's going in here? Okay. All right. Hey, have a Mariners. And then he'd walk out of the room, and then he'd go upstairs, and I'm hiding around the corner. And then he caught me.
Oh no, John Curley, PI. What happened?
Are you following me? Huh? You think you're the first ones ever followed anybody here? Anyway, follow me, huh? Tracy Taylor. There's a segment for you. I would say that part of the ongoing sort of little stupid stuff on this show is the fact that Jacob and Tom like that I have tried numerous times to get into the Guinness World Book of Records, because it was the only book I ever read when I was in school, when they were, okay, you've got reading time, and I would go up and get that book. And I would sit there and flip through it. I'd see the picture of the guy with the super duper long mustache or the big long fingernails. And I kept thinking, I'm going to be in there someday. I'm going to make it in there. I've tried three times. And now whenever it's a chance to break a world record and their record is broken, Jacob makes sure it's in the rundown of the show. And then Tom's not here. And then I looked at him like, oh, crap. He's told Sherry the same thing. So now You get to participate in this. And Jacob's always putting it like, oh, I found a story I thought would inspire you. No.
It just not further demoralizes you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like this stupid
one. This is not something you see every day. Okay, a new story is shattering the mold and records. So Girl Clothing opened in downtown Las Vegas just yesterday. And as part of the opening, its founder, Courtney Olson, reclaimed the world record for fastest time to crush three watermelons between her thighs.
Three, two, one.
Hold on, wait. They're cheering that loud on the first one? She hadn't even broken the record yet. That was the first one smashed between. Then the second one, they're cheering just as loudly.
Yeah, but did you see her? I mean, she was cheering.
Yes, that is a world record. She smashed all three in 7.63 seconds. And as for the store, well, it is a community space for women helping to build a sisterhood.
We are all.
Okay. Oh, are they going to have her on there? I thought it was going to be the uncomfortable crosstalk between her and the
age is really, at the end of the day, our main market is 20 to 40.
End of the day.
40-year-old women. But I'm about to turn 40, and I'm like, my life is just starting. Don't try and tell me we can start using five-pound dumbbells. I want to see women deadlifting for the first time in their lives and really flipping that switch and getting that mentality.
Oh, she's so beautiful inside and out. Women-owned business.
Oh, my God.
That woman should be in the World Book of Records for the most annoying correspondent on the planet.
She's not finished. She's got more. She's gonna put it way out of sight for anybody else to possibly break.
Businesses and nonprofits will be able to host free community fitness and wellness classes inside, as well as self-defense classes.
Yeah.
She's beautiful inside and out.
Okay, Jacob. So the other stories that have come forward of, but I'm going to do it before you do it. You ready?
Okay.
These are the latest records that have been broken, if you're paying attention. The kid that had the least chance of surviving, he had a 0% odds of surviving when he celebrates his first birthday. So can't break that one.
No.
No. Norwegian man achieves the grueling 16-minute dead hang for the new record. And woman now has the world's longest eyelashes. She, too, breaks the record. A woman from Dubai breaks the record for longest static wall sit. And then here's one I'm going to try tonight. Stacking the most amount of M&Ms, breaking the world record, is a 23-year-old British man without any friends.
How many M&Ms?
7.
No. It's only 7? That does seem... I think you... that feels...
Oh, I think you can do that.
Yeah.
Tracy Taylor!